Hey, hey, everybody. It's everything's fine. I'm Dallas.
I'm Travis.
You can follow us on Twitter if you want, at Dallas_MC.
I'm at Civart.
And we have a podcast Twitter that I tweet from maybe once a month, at Every Fine Pod. And, listen, the last time, as we were talking, the last time we recorded was almost a year ago. So yes. Welcome to our annual Everything's Fine episode.
Yeah. And I haven't listened to the last one, so I have no idea what we even talked about.
Why would you listen? Why? There's nothing would be current.
No, and we just decided to do this because our one Twitter fan just keeps hounding us to do this, so we decided to appease, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically the catalyst. We've always been like, we should do an episode, and then we just never do.
Right.
Mainly because we have families and jobs and all that stuff, and so it's just really hard to fit it in. And you're doing the Kept Faith once a week, and I try to do that every now and then, but you're a busy guy.
Yes, life is hectic, as they say. Like, so much has changed since we used to do this all the time. Like, two kids for me is much different. Living in San Diego versus Whittier is much different. So,
yeah,
life is just a different thing now. But,
well, El Cajon, Travis, not really San Diego, but I get what you're saying.
It's true, Dallas, and we could talk a lot about living in El Cajon.
I bet we could.
not to like throw this off in just a totally random direction, but there is a thing on the internet, and it's something about like the judgmental map of San Diego, and I don't know if
anyone wants
to look these things up, but I think they exist for almost every city where, if you know what's going on, you get the inside scoop to a city. And
yeah.
So yeah. In San Diego's judgmental map of San Diego, the area that is over the city of El Cajon, which is in the county of San Diego. I know, Dallas, we need to get technical and all that. Mm-hmm. But it says, would you like to know the description of El Cajon? Like,
sure.
Exactly where I live?
Yeah.
A dangerous combination of diversity and racism. And so, like, I didn't make that up. That's not even me, but it is, I'm living that experience right now. It's pretty remarkable. So we could have many episodes just about El Cajon and what's going on here.
That is a beautiful way to describe El Cajon. That's really funny.
Well, and I'm not sure if we talked about it on the podcast before, but like right when I moved here, I'm in a nice little cul-de-sac, but a block away from what is Wells Park. And Wells Park has had like the Hep A outbreak, whatever the Heps are. So they shut down like the play area. They've put a fence up around it. They've made feeding the homeless illegal and actually arrested churchgoers that went to the park to feed homeless. They like took them to jail. Yeah, it is pretty crazy the community that has formed in El Cajon. And like, this is the city that I was born, not really born in, I was born in San Diego proper, to be technical. But when I was young, moved out to El Cajon, and just, it was like the meth capital of the United States, supposedly, in the 80s. And now just what's become of it. It's, yes, we have many episodes to come, Dallas, just on El Cajon.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's how we get these episodes out more regularly, is that we just promise to talk about El Cajon.
Yeah. Travis's stories of El Cajon.
Listen, I live in Temecula, which is a dangerous combination. Well, I mean, kind of. It's a dangerous combination of young white people and old white people.
Amazing.
I did a stand-up show up here, and I had some friends doing it, and I just went to it, and then they're like, hey, do you want to do like 10 minutes? And I was like, sure. And I just opened by saying how I like moved here from San Diego, and it's weird because the American flags got bigger and the people got whiter, and nobody laughed. Nobody laughed. It was very awkward.
It like stung a little too much, right? Or did they not even get it?
They probably didn't totally get it.
Oh man. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's like, well, the white people like went to get away from it all kind of thing?
Well, it's kind of like, it's weird. I mean, like it's a cow town, you know, I mean, it is a ranch town. There's tons of ranches. And so when you're growing up in San Diego, people talked about Temecula and they're like, why would we go to where the horses are? You know, like nobody's going to go up there. It's a bunch of cow poop. And it kind of was that way for a while. And then it just became like a place where people were started to go, and like they kind of transformed their old town into like a cool place with cool restaurants and bars.
Wasn't it in like the late 90s they decided to do lots of wineries up there? It was kind of like a something, but then 20 years ago just started blowing up.
Obviously, yeah, wine country was a big deal, and now breweries have moved up here, and then young families discovered like, oh, we can get like big houses up here for what we can pay for small apartments in San Diego, and kind of people have started to figure out like, if you don't live by the beach in San Diego and you're still paying enormous prices for houses, why? Yeah. So then like just move north where you're very far away from the beach, but you get a lot more property and it's cheaper.
I've thought about it many times, but
well, I would welcome you with open arms,
but I'm stuck in El Cajon and I can't get rid of this house now. So
what, why?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't need to get into that.
But. Okay. Well, we can, you come up and have a glass of wine. We can talk about it.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. You've been up here. We live super close to the wineries. They're like down the street basically. But anyway, I don't know. Listen, the only thing I really care about right now is the Chargers. And no, I'm just kidding.
Our listeners in London, if we still have those, will be excited because are they moving to London? There's lots of Twitter rumors about the Chargers in London. I'm not totally.
No, Dean Spanos came out and cursed up a storm and said that would never happen.
There's rumors that they should move to London, be the first European. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Not to get into Brexit talk, but England is not part of Europe. England is England. The Brits are their own thing.
Well, it hasn't gone through.
Well, the Queen, you know, said that. Like, we're not Europeans, we're British. Okay.
Whatever. We don't need it. That's a whole nother ball of wax.
There's so much to talk about.
Well, I wanted to talk about, I mean, I don't know what you want to talk about, but go ahead.
I have one question to ask, and then the rest can be about whatever you want to talk about.
Ooh, okay.
But how after, what is it? It's 2015, 16? 15 is when Trump decided he was going to run for president.
It'd be 15, yeah.
How is he still going to be the winner of the 2020 election? That's all I want to know. Like, honestly, how has like the biggest softball set up on the like fattest tee, and then like the left or whatever you want to call it nowadays, been given the biggest bat, like those red wiffle bats, you know, we used to have as kids. And they cannot effing hit the freaking bat, the ball off the tee. And as someone who does not like Trump, but can't like go online and talk about it anymore, it's so frustrating to watch what's happening. So how with all this, like the only route they have is this like little impeachment route, which is not going to pass the Senate. So he's still going to be in office to run in 2020. And Biden is really like what we're going to do.
Man, that it feels like, do you remember, I don't know if you remember this at all, but the second Clinton, the second Clinton election, which was Bill Clinton, 96, when it was him versus Bob Dole.
Dole.
And like Bob Dole's like, running mate was Jack Kemp. It was just like this whole like, really? Like this is like what you're, like, so you're lose, just going right? to give him another term. And then when John Kerry went against George W. Bush, you're like, really? Really? Yeah. It feels like one of those years where people really don't like who's in power. Because, I mean, if you remember 1996, you know, Bill Clinton had a terrible – I mean, he was doing – you know, I know people don't like to admit it, but he was a really very good president. He did a lot of really good fiscally and financial – yes. And he was great in that respect. In fact, he was so good that George W. Bush then gave it all away. But he they still gave him somebody that wasn't Dude, even giving him the challenge.
That's not the one George Bush gave away. Trust me.
No, I know. But like, you know, and then the same thing happened with George W. Bush. Like, people hated that guy. And then the one you put up against him is John Kerry. Like, it's just, I feel like we're at that point again where it's like Trump, people hate Trump. Like, even people who, I started doing this stand-up bit about Trump, basically saying that you can't make fun of him. And it's for several reasons. And one of them
is like Teflon. Kind of like what we were talking about 4 years ago, but keep going. Yes.
Well, yeah, it's not even like Teflon in the sense that, I mean, it's Teflon in the sense that you can't make fun of him because one, he's already said something more stupid than you could think.
Yeah, he's already made fun of himself enough to where. Yeah.
But it's not even make fun of, he's not making fun of himself. At this point, I really feel like he's gone down the rabbit hole where it's not even self-deprecation anymore. It's like he literally thinks what he's saying is smart and coherent. And I mean, you've heard his speeches, like they are unbelievable messes.
Yeah, they're getting worse. They're getting much, much worse.
Like even my mom, like a couple months ago was like, she literally told me, I think something's wrong with him. And she voted for Trump. I mean, she literally, like, she thinks that he has a mental disorder now. And I'm like,
he does. Yeah. He's always had one.
He's always had one. This isn't new. Like,
but let's get back to how this guy is not going to be beaten.
Well, that's what is fascinating to me is that we're in this zone now where so many people dislike him. And when I try to do that bit, I try to do a stand-up bit where one, you can't make fun of him because he's already really stupid. And yes. Two, you can't make fun of him because his supporters are like rabid. Like they believe in him so hard. And and for people, like I liked Obama, you know, I liked him. That was the end of that. There wasn't me like, you know, he is the president, he is the leader, and we will respect him to like that never happened. Clinton, Bush, none of them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I liked Obama. The fact that people like are literally willing to go murder minorities because of Trump is unbelievable. So you can't say anything on stage because the crowd gets quiet. Nobody wants to admit that there's half the audience that doesn't want to admit that he's the president. And the other half of the audience is like, you better watch your tone, boy.
Yeah. Or doesn't want to admit that they're Trump supporters like that.
A month ago, I was doing a show down in Chula Vista, which if you are familiar with San Diego, Chula Vista is basically Mexico. It's on the other side of Mexico. And I was down there at a brewery doing a show and I started doing this Trump bit. And I could hear at the other side of the bar, which was a good 15 feet away from me, 20 feet away from me. I just heard somebody say, I'm going to kick him off the stage. And then I looked up and it was the co-owner of this brewery looking at me. And I was like, who's going to kick me off stage? And he goes, just move on. And I was like, what? He's like, move on from what you're doing. And he was like the old white guy and he was really mad. And so I literally said, I was 10 minutes into my 30-minute set, and I just said on the mic, I was like, listen, if you voted for Trump, you made a terrible decision, and he's a shitty person. Good night. And then I walked off stage.
Which is so sad because, like, one of the great things that used to happen is you got to make fun of the president. Like, that was
– Yeah.
That was the fun. But what happened – and I'm not placing blame, but where everything got taken – I don't want to say too seriously, but kind of like what happened to where we can't talk about anything anymore. You can't make fun of a president in a bar without either the supporter getting like offended that you're making fun of their president or, you know, the snowflake or whatever that means on the other side going, you said Trump and now I'm triggered. It's like, what has happened? Like getting back to the conversations we used to have, like, As horrible, again, as Trump is in tone and human being and all that, like, the world hasn't ended yet. Like, the reaction we've had to it has been so just
– Oh, it's
way swung over to where we should be able to make fun of how crazy he is, but in a way to where we can still go – where we can still, like, I don't know, where everyone's just not triggered at first – mention of something, you know?
Well, I think the bigger, you know, honestly, the reason why people are getting so triggered and the reason why people are getting so defensive and the reason why people go, you know, please don't talk to me about that. I'll be the old man that says it, but it's social media.
Is that what, like, it is?
Yes, it's because you say one thing on Twitter or on Instagram or on Facebook, and what happens? People go after you. And everybody is, and it doesn't matter what side you're on. You could be anti-Trump or pro-Trump. It doesn't matter. People are going to go after whatever you said. And the problem with that is that people always assume that when 10 people tell you you're wrong, that you're going to go, oh, I'm wrong. But
right, most times, change your mind.
Yeah, most times you're not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
In fact, the more people who tell you you're wrong, the more you're going to get mad or embarrassed. Like, and you, yeah, I mean, you might, and you, at that point, you probably don't even think that you're right, but you're still just embarrassed, or you feel like, why are everybody coming down on me? I mean, why is everybody so mad at me? This sucks. And then you're going to dig in and you're going to double down on everything you're saying. Like this guy, Shane Gillis, who just got fired from SNL for saying racist things on his podcast, which, by the way, just quickly.
SNL, what is that? Is that like Saturday Night Live or something?
Yeah, it's Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this guy, he got hired this – he was a stand-up who got hired this year, and then they fired him like 2 weeks in because all these racist things he said on his podcast were unearthed. And like
– back when he was 10 like, years old?
No. It was like this summer.
Recently.
Yeah. And the things that he said too weren't like funny. They were legit racist comments.
Okay.
He was trying to come out
and go
like – I have
no idea about this, so –
No, but I'll circle it back. I'll make it make sense. But he came out and he's like, I'm trying to, you know, I'm an edgy comic and I had to push the envelope and stuff. But like, you listen to the podcast and you're like, nothing about that was a joke. Like, there was no joke in there. You were just saying something racist, and it's okay that you were, but everybody, because I'm not a judge, you shouldn't do that. But you know, if you're doing it, it's your life, you're going to face the backlash. But the thing is that everybody went after this guy. You know, all these people online went crazy on him. And like, he issued some terrible apology that was almost worse than the racist things he said.
I love those.
And then Saturday Night Live fired
apologies
him.
That make it worse.
Yeah. And then like, people, I'm like, oh, well, that's it. That's all we'll have to ever hear about from Shane Gillis. And I'm like, no, all you did was now create an alt-right comic. Like, all you did was take a guy who maybe said some stupid stuff and maybe did some dumb stuff, but you actually forced him onto the other side of the platform. He's not going anywhere. He's going to get rallied around behind with the Trump supporters and all those other people who are conservatives and don't believe in cancel culture. Now they're going to all support him. Like, you didn't do anything. If anything, you just made him more famous. But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you say something now, everybody comes after you, right or wrong. And it's almost never going to be that when everybody comes after you, you're going to change your mind. It's almost always going to be, well, F all of you. This is how I believe.
Yeah. And I can go create my own little like subgroup with those that agree with, you know, my minority, you know?
Exactly. Oh, and so like, yeah, there's a group for everybody now, and they find it and then they're in that group, and it's just like, and that's their echo chamber. You know what I mean? So you and any, like you said, like you could be like, hey, I really like to cut the ears off cats, and there'll be a group somewhere for you on
you'll
Reddit.
You'll find 100 other people in America that love that, and then you're justified because you have your community.
Yeah, I really think that is the biggest reason why people feel so triggered. I feel like it's a huge cause of people not wanting to talk to each other like about topics anymore, because everybody's so on edge. You know what I mean? I just firmly believe that. And it's not like I'm some social media justice warrior where I'm like, you need to unplug. Like, you're not going to. So I'm not going to pretend that somebody will. You know what I mean? And I don't even. I don't go on Twitter as much as I used to, as far as like scrolling the timeline. But yeah. If anything, I'm on Instagram more because it's just a lot of videos of dogs.
Dude, TikTok. You got to get on TikTok, Dallas. No, I know you're in your 30s, but TikTok is where it's at, man. Once you spend an hour on TikTok, Instagram feels like what old men do.
Oh, yeah. TikTok's the thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
I just – there's like 10-year-old or 8-year-old girls that I know that are on TikTok. So maybe I'm not allowed to. It might be illegal for me to be on TikTok.
It's like worth some ridiculous amount of money. Did you know that?
Like people, oh, really? I
just found out about it honestly like 3 months ago. I'm not gonna lie, I'm way out of it. But it's worth like $70 billion or something ridiculous.
Well, it's because they did what they did what Instagram did to Snapchat, which was basically if they took the best part of Snapchat and then just put it on a platform that people already liked. Like they basically TikTok just put the best part of Vine and then made it better.
Yes, exactly. Vine. They did the Vine thing where like the common sound, so you can add your video to like whatever the trending, you know, soundbite is, whether it's like a dance or a funny sound effect or I don't know if you watch it at all, but like the one where the people are pouring a full container of orange juice or milk into a glass that obviously won't hold it all. I don't know if you've seen these. It's like your mama's a hoe and it, or whatever the sound is. It's not even that. But as this long oh is going, they're pouring whatever it is and it spills out. And it's to get the person behind you, whoever it is, to react and freak out. So it's the same like sound bite, but then you see it done with 1,000 different interpretations, right? And it's just so the way that like you can jump on trends or new dance steps or new rhymes or new whatever, there's 1,000 different types of sound clips that can be there. But anyways, I didn't know about this, just found out about this. And yeah, now Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is dead. Gosh, dang.
No. Facebook is for your parents, dude.
Well, again, my parents are alive and well. I don't mean to sound morbid or whatever, but yeah, that is now who's carrying that out. Facebook is for, you know.
It's for like, it's literally Facebook is for Russians and like 50 plus. Like that is not a joke.
Yeah, it's for the Russians to influence the elections. That is all that Facebook is for. You're on it, that's really what you're about. So that's why I said Facebook is pointless.
I feel like Facebook is like 50 plus. Twitter is like 35 plus. Instagram's like 20 plus. And then TikTok is the rest of it.
Yeah, there's a whole thing on TikTok where if you're in your 30s, you have to like apologize before you post a video.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Where you know you're not allowed to be there, but I'm going to be young and witty anyway. So watch me.
That's really I'm not going to be a part of it. I missed, you know, like I didn't do Snapchat. I'm not going to do this. There's just,
We can reinvent ourselves on TikTok.
Okay.
You and me doing all the dance steps. I mean, if we can ever get together physically, it would be amazing, but I think it would be a big hit.
Okay, sure.
Check it out. You just got to like look at it and figure out what it is. And then we can, you know, creatively get together.
It'll save the podcast is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
Us doing the podcast would probably saving it. If we just recorded often, it would save it.
No. Yeah. I want to circle back though, because one thing I do want to talk about, and it's based on what your question was. I am really fascinated right now with the Democratic primary. And the reason why I'm so fascinated by it is because they're all like, they're really, how do I explain this to where you won't laugh at it? I think they're all very competent people.
Yes.
Whereas last year when we had the Republican primary, it was like a clown car full of people who were just laughably dumb. And
okay.
You know what I mean? Like you had Huckabee and Chris Christie and like all these people were kind of like, who's the other guy? Whatever the other guy was, who cares? Bobby Jindal or something like that. Like you had all these people who were like, who are these people? Like it was just so weird. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Rick Perry. You had Rick Perry.
Yeah, but you had Beto O'Rourke.
No, but now this is where we'll disagree. But here's the thing I think about the Democratic primary and I've tweeted it out a couple of times from Everything's Fine. And the trending thing on Twitter was Pete for governor today.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it is really fascinating that there's so many candidates in this race, right, for the Democratic nomination. And it's so clear that there's like five of them that matter. And really out of that five, three of them have a chance of getting there,
right?
Which would be like Warren, Sanders, and Biden. And I would say the other two that matter are probably Pete and I would say Andrew Yang, because he has a really, really strong social following.
Well, no, what about Harris? Kamala?
No, she does not poll well. She's never in the top five. She was in the top five like right away, and then she has slowly faded out. I think if you look it up now,
interesting. I'm going to have
to Google it now.
I'm not that up to date. So
Harris is not doing well. And I think the biggest reason why she's not doing well is because she comes off. The
bus comments?
Huh?
The bus comments?
What's the bus comments?
She took a dip when she was talked about. She was bust or something. I don't remember. It was
the whole thing about coming after Joe Biden and basically calling him racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, but she just takes these weird jabs, and she has a very, very shady record as the Attorney General of California. Like, it's not like here it is. Biden,
shady person in California. No way.
No. So this one that came out today, the Hill Harris poll, has Biden at 26, Warren at 15, Sanders at 14, Buttigieg at 6, Harris at 6. There you go. And then Yang's all the way down to 1 in this one.
I'm by the way, no one would know this, that I was going to be a Democrat just to vote for Yang, but I'm out on Yang.
You're out? Why?
Yeah, he's just too much, man. Like, there's only so much you can do. And just the things that he's talking about, especially when it comes to like federal environmental programs, which have just proven to be, oh my goodness, I can't get behind it anymore. It's too much. I do like the idea of the universal basic income, but I'm out on Yang.
Well, I feel like I was talking to my friend, I can't say her real name in case people cross listen to podcasts, but her name is AG on Mueller. She wrote, I was talking to her about the primary a while ago, and she was saying that Yang would be like a really interesting cabinet member for somebody.
Yes. Exactly.
But, president.
No, it's not going to happen. But those numbers are surprising to me, even with like, and maybe my perspective again is just way removed, but Biden seems so toxic.
Well, it's just such a weird thing. Like, this is the thing that let me get to this first point, and then we can move into Biden. But the thing about it is that like the whole thing since Trump won in 2016 was like, okay, we got to take over the government. Like, we got to take over everything.
Take
we
it back. Yeah.
Blue wave, everything, blue wave everywhere. And Beto had that campaign versus Cruz, and he almost beat Cruz. And then, but that same year in 18, that, you know, everybody, it like there was a big blue wave and they won Congress.
Yeah, the House flipped, right?
Yeah. And they gained some seats in the Senate, and it was like, you know, governors were won and all this nonsense. Yeah. And even this last election the other day, like the Kentucky and West Virginia governors are now Democrat. And so it's kind of like there is a blue wave, but it is interesting to me that there is this belief where it's like that people go like Beto has canceled his campaign. He suspended his campaign for presidency, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, well, he's doing that.
One of the dumbest things in the history of campaigns, but we can get to that later.
Okay. He said,
for your AR-15s.
Oh, that was great.
I mean, it was fun, but it's like literally locking the coffin on your campaign.
But, well, I mean, for certain states, that's for sure. But he had it like John Cornyn, the other senator in Texas, his seat is up for re-election. And people are like, oh, well, he almost beat Ted Cruz, who's vastly more popular and well-known than John Cornyn. So then he's dropping out of this presidential race to go run for Senate against Cornyn. That makes a ton of sense. And Beto's like, no, I'm not doing that. And like this Pete Buttigieg thing, it's like, yeah, he's polling well, but let's be honest, like he's not going to overtake Biden. It's just not going to happen. And he could literally run for the governors of Indiana and he would win that race. There's no way with all of his notoriety and all of his fame right now, he would be a slam dunk to win that race. And he could flip that and make it a governor's and make it a Democratic seat. So you would have a new Democratic senator and a new Democratic governor, and both of them are not going to do it. And people are like, why wouldn't they do that? And it's because you don't understand, like these guys are not out to make a blue wave. That's just, sorry, my thing's on. They're not out to make a blue wave. It's just, that's not what they're here for. They're here for power. They want to be president. That's what they want to be. And it's silly for people to think anything else. Like, the mayor of South Bend is running for president. He's gotten this far, and you think he's just going to drop out because he wants, because he believes in a blue wave? Like, are you nuts?
So are you saying they're just like Trump?
Yes, of course.
Oh, what? That's so ironic and weird. But here's the thing. And
you think that's ironic and weird?
I mean, no, I don't think it is, but it is.
Yeah, like, that's true. The,
right. I'm just acknowledging how much of it is ironic and weird that these people who are running under, like, bringing democracy and representing the people are obviously just after their own, you know,
they just want to benefit. Yeah, they want to have the big chair.
And they're going to do all those things after this.
Yeah, Beta's going
to
go.
It's a lot of work to do that after what they've already done, you know. Once you say we're taking your AR-15 seriously with conviction, like you're a really serious person, you have to take a break, Dallas.
I just think that
it's time to go to Fiji.
I just think it's so silly because I don't know, like if I was running for president and I was polling at 2%, I don't know why I would keep going. Like, I don't know what, I don't know where the glory is in that, especially you're so far out. And
unless
I guess
you're out of money.
What's up?
Unless you run out of money, that's the reason most of the people stop running is it's expensive to keep running and you run out of money, but
why would you keep running if you were polling at 1% and you're not even close to the election? Like, I know that is a reason for people to stay in because they're like, oh, well, we can build momentum. We have all this time to build momentum. But I'm like,
you said you would stay in.
Why would you stay in?
Oh, I agree. Why would you? You'd get out.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, right. You're just burning money. And if you're doing it for notoriety, it's like most of these people already have it and they're going to continue to have it. Like Cory Booker isn't going to go away. Like, he's a figurehead in the Democratic Party and he will be for a long time. So Kamala Harris, same thing. It's like, there's obviously like Tulsi Gabbard and Klobuchar and those people, you know, who knows what's going to happen to them. I don't know. They'll probably fade kind of away a little bit, but I just don't get it. It's like it's Sanders, Warren, or Biden. I mean, that's where we're at. And it's like the
which quicker. Which is crazy, right?
I mean, it's crazy, but it's not. Like, Sanders should have beaten Hillary Clinton.
But Dallas.
Yeah.
We are in 2019. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, which on the face of it, with everything he's said and done up to this point, looks like the biggest softball to beat as a candidate. And the Democratic Party, with all the best and brightest minds in the United States of America, the greatest country supposedly in the history of mankind up until this point, is going to put up Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie freaking Sanders against Donald Trump for the presidency? And we just aren't even like looking at this as total absurdity?
I think that if it's Biden, which it probably will be, you are going to have, I mean,
you think Biden can beat Trump?
No, but I think that I think it's going to be embarrassing.
Like, both of them are going to have the grab him in the pussy comment come out. And
yeah,
like, what are you going to do when they both have the same exact dirt flung on them?
I said this to you.
They both wipe it off the same. I mean, how does that work?
I feel like I said this last year on the podcast.
I know we're probably having so many flashback conversations right now.
Yeah, but oh well. But I think I said this last year, but I've definitely said it in conversation with several people, is I honestly believe the only chance the Democrats have to beat Trump is with an old white guy. Like, that's the only way to do it. Warren's not going to get it over the finish line. So that leaves you with Sanders and Biden. I really think that's your only chance. You're not going to do it with Pete. Like, there are so many. I like Pete Buttigieg. I really do. I think he's a really smart guy, and I think he represents. I think he represents what I want to see happen in our country, which is the next generation of politicians come up, because I'm really sick of all these old people. So I really like that, and I like that he's pushing so hard to, I don't know, get his face out there. You know, like, I do appreciate that, and I think that we need to see more of that across the country, more young people. I mean, he's 37, you know what I mean? He's not going to make it there, and he's not going to inspire anybody. And him being an openly gay man, is really, really interesting and I think important. But at the same time, like there
I think it's awesome, but I think it's a big jump.
Well, I think there's so many, but here's what I'm saying is that I think that the LGBTQ community is really, really good at mobilizing behind their people. Like they're really good at supporting their people. And that's like the whole creation of that group is to support and applaud and cheer on everybody in that group. And if you look on Twitter, he is not getting that support. There are a lot of people in that community who do not like him and are very, very vocal about it. And so that's a big concern if you're Pete Buttigieg.
Well, if you're a LGBTQ person running for presidency, you kind of got to rally that whole community.
You have to. And so you put him up against Donald Trump, not only won't he have the support of his own community, he'll have half-ass support from the Democrats. And he won't have any support from the older Democrats at all, because they're not going to be like, who's this kid? They're not going to go for it. And you're not going to sway anybody from the Republican Party to come vote for Pete. It's just not going to happen.
I get it. I just don't understand why the Democratic Party at this point hasn't, in 2015 when they saw Trump coming, and like even if they thought Hillary was going to win, kind of in a way conceded that election and said, we got to prep somebody now for 2020 that's going to come in like Justin Trudeau and just be like the knight in shining armor, the perfect, or, you know, the perfect princess. I didn't want that to be gender specific.
No, sure.
But, you know, just like the perfect candidate to come in and just walk away with this election. Like, I think that you could have written the script back then on how to win this election. To me, nothing has played out in the Trump presidency that has been, you know, off the rails or out of how you could have predicted this going. And just the fact that the Democratic Party and the left is not prepared to swoop in and just seize the moment is shocking to me.
It's crazy. You would think that, because here is the thing that the Republicans have always done so much better than the Democrats, which is they rally. I mean, like once it became pretty obvious that Trump was the nominee, everybody else bounced. And they seized
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. They threw everything behind him, like whether it was right or not, you know, they threw everything behind him. The Democrats are the opposite. They will fight tooth and nail with each other, against each other until the very last moment.
About every little policy detail that every no single one thing, understands.
They don't think you lose everybody. No one cares. And then you're going to have this other guy on the other side who's going to, you know, do some, you know, horrible racist voice to make fun of you, call you some terrible name. I mean, the man is literally calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas and no one cares.
Still. Well, that's
like it's unbelievable.
The thing, Dallas, and I hate to get back to this, but like he's using the exact same tactics he used to get him the presidency because no one has yet devised a strategy to not just play into the way he's always done what he's doing.
Yeah, I think day one of Hillary Clinton losing the election should have been the leaders of the Democratic Party getting together going, what do we do now?
Let's form a new plan instead of just like showing how horrible he is. Because we all get it. Like,
let's get two people here to sign on. You know what I mean? Like, let's get two people to sign on, Democrats. And we're going to run these two people, and it's going to be understood throughout the party that these are the two people.
Yeah,
like you rally.
So, I have some answers to why, and we're already getting along in the podcast. Not that I can talk about this all night, but doesn't it feel like? And I don't want to be conspiratorial or whatever, but like voting doesn't matter. And I know we want it to so bad, and I know that everyone's going to listen to this and just be like, oh, you cynical SOB. But really, like, this whole charade with Trump over the last 5 years has led to what? Some silly impeachment trial about the Ukraine phone conversation that's just going to hit a brick wall when it goes to the Senate and literally waste time and energy from the Democrats. This is the part I don't understand if they really want to win. The Democrats are now going to take like the senators and the people that are running in the front unless Biden's just going to walk away with this and tie them up in an impeachment trial. Like, this is one of those things that they can't phone in from their district. They can't phone in from the road. Warren and Sanders are going to be in Washington with this impeachment trial. Yeah. And it just seems like, do the Democrats really want to win, or is it just about, I don't know what it's about, like keeping the status quo in a way, even though Trump is about draining the swamp. And I don't know. It really is confusing to me on a country of our size and this stature, this historical precedent and this stock market. I mean, are you kidding me with all the wealth that's being created? How these are the people that are vying for the top spot in our country. It's bizarre.
The impeachment thing, listen, it makes no sense to me, and none of it makes any sense to me. And actually, if you watch, if anybody watches Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, a couple months ago, he did an episode about impeachment and how it basically wasn't what you thought it was.
No.
And it's really, really smart, and it was really, really well thought out. And as someone who obviously hates Trump, John Oliver basically laid it out, going like, this is something you shouldn't be wasting your time with.
Well, they did it with Clinton. They impeached him in the House. It didn't pass the Senate. And it would be the same exact thing that happened then. And it was just – it's like a charade because something else is happening that we don't really know about. That to me, I don't know. That again, I just feel like this 40-year-old conspiracy theorist, because what we're witnessing makes zero sense.
Well, I don't think that – I honestly think at this point that there isn't some hidden thing. We've said this a million times no matter the last 4 years, but like Trump never wanted to be president.
Nope.
He wanted to launch his own TV network. That's what he wanted to do, and he was already doing it before the election started. He already had Trump TV going online before this started, the election was over. That was his plan. And if anybody thinks differently, you don't know Donald Trump, because there's no way that guy wanted to work as hard as he's working. It's just not possible. No,
look, he's doing the whole president fatigue look, man.
He is breaking down.
Oh, gosh.
Honestly, I don't blame him. If you were 70-something years old and you were getting hammered every day from every different direction, you would be breaking down too. So, as much as I don't like the man, there's reasons for him to be breaking down this much. Secondly, everybody thought Clinton was going to win, and that didn't happen. But the thing about it is that he is coming at this in a way where he just doesn't care. And no one's ever done that before as a politician, except for maybe like Teddy Roosevelt. So like this impeachment thing is like, who cares? Like he's every time at every turn, they're like, because he could be like, yeah, impeach me. I'm out. Fine. Bye. And then he's going to still be a billionaire. He doesn't want – he's going to have more money than he's ever had before ever because of this. But it also – his ego is to a point now. I mean, this is the other problem. Like I said, he's down the rabbit hole where he does think he's coherent and it's not self-deprecation. I honestly think his ego is so huge now that he can't give up the presidency. Like he has to – win again. You know what I mean? Just to know that he could do it, he has to win again. So I think there is that problem that's now confronting him, that I think forever he's just been like, I don't care. I'm doing whatever I want to do. And that's the thing. That's the only reason I see them pushing for an impeachment is to go, well, you can't do whatever you want to do. And we need to set a precedent that nobody can do whatever they want to do. And that makes sense to me. But the problem is they're going like half-ass at it. You have all these people who aren't showing up to testify, and then nothing's happening to them.
No. Well, and the whole – one of the things that sparked this recording was something about what's his name that was going to trial this week. Oh, gosh. Now I'm blanking. There's old Roger Stone.
Oh,
right? Dude. And like, if I'm Roger Stone, like, did you see the documentary that was on Netflix or whatever about him?
I did not watch it.
Oh, Dallas, you must, you must, you must, you must. So I can, after seeing that documentary, I can kind of tell you what I think he's going through this week. The fact that his name is in the headlines gets him all warm and fuzzy. It does all the things for him that he needs done to make him happy. So the fact that he's on trial right now or anything like that is not him being nervous or I wonder what's going to happen to me in the future. It's hey man, I'm front and center and people are paying attention to me right now. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. He knows that whatever happens, Trump will pardon him.
Yeah, totally.
So there's nothing like about this that is sweat off his brow. And so like what you were saying, there is a point now where Trump knows that he never wanted it really to begin with. It was just to see if he could do it. He was completely outlandish to begin with. It worked as a strategy. No one's figured out how not to react to it. So he keeps doing it. And now he's getting away with pretty much doing whatever he wants and no one can check him on it.
I mean, it is amazing to me like that. Listen, do I think the Ukraine call is impeachable? I don't know. But do I think that it was quid pro quo? Yeah, 100,000%. That's what it was. And the fact that any Republican goes, nope, I didn't hear it. Like, what? Yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, that's why when Mick Mulvaney the other day came out and said, yeah, it was, and we do it all the time. I was like, thank right. God. Like, thank God one of you just admitted it.
The Freudian slip, thank you.
And here's the thing. Of course, every president has done it before, but usually it's to like do something that helps America in some way.
Right.
This way was just him going, I want to win this election. Like, that's what makes it different for me is it's like, whoa. And the thing is there will be no consequence. Like, he won't be impeached in the Senate. And on top of that, everybody who's not showing up, who's in contempt of court, they're all we're going to hold them in contempt and we might detain them. Okay, then do it. They never do it. They're never going
to
do it.
To what ends, right?
But that's the thing is like no one is complying because they know that there are no consequences because the Democrats won't follow through. So it's like they have this hearing up, which, everybody's excited about because we get to hear the words impeachment and Donald Trump, which is a win for America. Like, if there's anybody out there that thinks that Donald Trump is good for America, you're a dum-dum. Like, you are
soiling the system. Look at the stock market. Dallas, watch your mouth.
Okay.
Look at the stock market.
What about the stock market?
Supposedly, people are making lots of money.
Yeah, I'm not. I've never been on the phone with my broker more in the last 2 years.
The whole trickle-down thing, we need a whole episode on that because that is just about as...
The fact that people are saying, yeah,
there's fallacy as there ever has been in the history of humankind.
There's about 10 people making money and this huge tax cut that he did, it's going to be good for the country. And obviously it's not, it's terrible for the country. The deficit just, quadrupled. Like, it's just so dumb.
No, he's not only that, organizations like the one I work for, especially arts organizations, have gotten just blasted by this because no one has the incentive to write off small donations anymore. So they don't give.
Yeah. The thing is, even if you don't agree with his policies, he's just a dumb idiot. Like, he's just a bad person. He's a very bad man. And even Donald Trump Jr., like this whole thing yesterday where he tweeted out the name of the whistleblower and he's like, what? I can do that if I want. And it's like, you're not legally supposed to be able to do that, but nothing's going to happen to him. It's just like, nothing's going to happen. Why wouldn't he? There's no consequence. Like, he should be arrested. That's a literal federal offense that he just didn't care about. And nothing's going to happen to him. So it's like we're living in a time where these terrible people are running around with no consequences attached to their actions. And people are wondering why they why they would win in 2020. There's no way Donald Trump's going to win in 2020. Are you kidding me? He's literally doing illegal things all the time. Like, you don't think he's going to do illegal things this time around? Like, come on.
But how can we not beat him?
How can you not beat him?
That's what I'm saying. With someone who's doing all these horrible illegal things, how can we not figure out a way to beat him? It's just beyond me.
Because his base is crazy and they go vote. I mean, this is what it all comes down to is that the Republican Party.
Time out. No way. Hillary won the popular vote, right?
Yeah, but you believe in the Electoral College, so this conversation.
It doesn't matter. That means there's not even like a third of Americans vote.
But
the Republicans rally. It's that the Democrats can't come up with a coherent message. And against a radical like Trump, they have, I'm sorry, regardless of my and your opinion, to the right. Warren and Bernie's policies seem super radical. And so, like, if you want to go up against a Trump, just come up with be a moderate Democrat who's like a cool, easy spoken person, like an Obama.
Yeah.
And just wipe the floor with them. Instead, they go with like, everyone's going to be driving floating electric cars. And everyone's like, you're crazy. I'd rather stick with the orange crazy guy instead of the floating car crazy guy. And
well, it's see, like, that's
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, you're right. Like, that's what baffles me about a guy like Cory Booker. Like, Cory Booker is that guy. Like, he is a moderate. He, you know, he's vegan, which is the most unmoderate thing about him. But he's a moderate. He is extremely, I mean, not soft-spoken. That's not the right word. But he's just a good speaker. Like, when he speaks.
See, I'm not, I like him as whatever, but he's awkward.
Well, he's a little awkward. And the biggest problem.
And then don't take this wrong way, but he gets... this is the presidency, and I know Trump's our president, so everything but his eyes, like, he gets buggy when he gets excited. And
he's got a little bit of a lazy eye, I think.
It's like, yeah, his eyes just get really big when he talks. Anyways, it's a minor detail, but you can't go in running president like that.
No, I know, but there's issues with it, but it's just like, for me, though,
he's the kind of candidate the Democrats need. Yes.
They needed him. They need a guy like that. They don't need, and they think that Biden's that guy, but Biden can't get a sentence out.
And he's the creepy hugger in the Me Too era. He's a creepy hugger.
And he literally looks like he's falling.
That is, we're in the Me Too area. Is anyone not watching the morning show? Like, we are in the Me Too area, and you cannot have a Joe Biden who hugs and treats women weird run for the presidency against a man who is the same kind of thing.
And that is the problem. See, that is the Democratic Party right there. And I say it's a problem with them because I'm not a member. I don't care. But the problem with the Democratic Party is that they'll all come out against him, whereas the Republicans won't. The Republicans will be like, he did a bunch of terrible stuff. He's our candidate.
Totally. Yes. Whereas the Democrats will be like, he's a horrible guy. We're going with Warren, who wants everyone to have a windmill on their house, and it's not going to work like that. Like, we can't vote for that. So here we go with Trump. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is a weird thing. Like, I don't know. I was going to go off on another tangent, but it's getting late. Well, listen.
Yes, the time changed, so it feels like 3 a.m, even though it's only like 10 p.m. So.
Yeah, I think that we're set up here, just to kind of try to put a button on something. I think we're set up in a just kind of the worst scenario where it's like you don't have somebody that can rally everybody in the Democratic base. I think one of the big problems is that so many Democrats felt so cheated with what happened last election with Bernie and Hillary, when Bernie clearly had the momentum. I mean, whether you agree with his policies or not, like, I mean, that's, you know, you think about who do you want to put up against Donald Trump in a debate? And sorry, it's Bernie. Like, I want to see Bernie just wipe the floor with him. And I think Warren could do the same thing. But I think Warren is too afraid to get into, because you're going to need somebody who can kind of talk like Trump and maybe throw a few insults at him and not feel bad about it. And I think Warren is trying to do the whole high road thing and not wanting to kind of throw insults back. But it's like, you can't have the guy call you Pocahontas on stage and then not say anything back. And I think that's what would happen if they got into a debate. Yeah. And you look like you look at the one candidate that we've talked about before on this podcast. And I still don't, I mean, just so you know, Bloomberg announced that he is preparing to enter the Democratic primary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to do it. But if you could somehow figure out how to get Michelle Obama to run, I mean, she would just topple him. There's that is your one candidate right there that would destroy Donald Trump.
It's not too late for someone to do that.
Oh, it's,
I guess, well, not in the modern age, maybe, but it feels like she's way too far behind. You have one year to form a whole campaign.
She's Michelle Obama, dude. Like, you don't think she has the resources ready to go? That's a phone call away.
Yeah, we might be in an age where you don't need your typical campaign. You can just use digital to.
Like, if she tweeted tomorrow that she was running for president, that would be everywhere.
I wonder when the last when you, the last time you could sign up is?
Yeah, I don't know that. That's a good question. But I think that she is, honestly, I mean, they're making so much money now, and rightfully so. Like they are the millennial administration, and they are definitely taking advantage of all the things that millennials have, like Netflix and everything. But
here's a question, Dallas. Is running for president like an altruistic thing, or is it what we came to earlier in the podcast, just like a grab for power? Like, she doesn't need the power. Everyone is asking Oprah, are you going to run? And she's kind of like, no, I don't. I wouldn't be good at that. That's not my thing. Like, does Michelle Obama, what would be her motivation to run?
Her motivation would, she would not only be the first woman president, she would be the first Black woman president. And I think that's a hell of a lot of motivation.
So it's, and just also, identity politics is the reason to run for president.
For her, I think it's breaking through. I mean, I think it's breaking through, but I also think that she would be a really good candidate. I think she's very, 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 very smart. I think that she is moderate, just as much as Barack Obama was. But I know people don't want to believe that, but I think she's definitely moderate. I think she can unite a base. I think she can. I don't know, man. Honestly, like, if she ran, I'd vote for her over Donald Trump in a heartbeat. I'll vote for Pete over Donald Trump, but you know, I don't know. That's the one person I could, like, we're talking about, just if you were the Democrats, you would be developing a plan starting 2016, and they clearly didn't. But if I was the Democrats, I would be like, we're throwing everything we can into getting Michelle into the ring. And you know, that didn't happen, and it won't. It's not going to, not this election cycle, but who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it.
This was fun, Trap.
Yeah, we got to do more often. I have no one to talk to anymore. We're married old men, so.
I know. I'm already getting tired. It's 10:14, and I'm like, I can go to bed right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do it more often. You know, how about 3 times a year? Let's try to do that.
Perfect.
It will be interesting to see what happens with the election. So we should keep talking about that. All right. Well, listen, it's been Everything's Fine, episode something or other.
I think this would be 122, Dallas.
122.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm Dallas.
I'm Travis.
And did you want to play a song?
Yeah.
Because you have – you're not going to send this. Are you going to just put this up?
Yeah, I'm going to edit it a little bit and stuff and make sure it's good. So, I'll pick a song.
You pick a song. Do you have any idea what song?
Yes. And I don't know if anyone else is going to find this funny or ironic or annoying, maybe all those things. But because I put myself in this situation, I'm going to share my pain with whoever is listening to this podcast still. So I am learning as a parent that your 6 and 3 year old children do not understand your irony or your sarcasm or your jokes, especially in music.
Yeah.
And so about a couple of weeks ago, I played the song Friday.
Rebecca Black?
The Rebecca Black version on Friday. Well, yeah, they really like Friday, I'm in Love. And I'm like, oh, this will be so funny. They'll hate it and we'll move on. Well, stupidly, I played the Glee version of Friday by Rebecca Black.
Oh, yeah.
And they love it. It's probably their favorite song that has ever graced their ears. And
it also works because if this comes out tomorrow, it'll be Friday.
Yes, where we got to get down on Friday. Fun. Think of our fun. Black. You know what it is.
I met Rebecca Black at a YouTube convention.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is the story with her, wasn't it like her dad paid someone to write it for her birthday or something like that?
I would have no idea.
Oh, I thought that's what you ask Rebecca Black when you meet her.
No, I didn't.
That's what I would have asked.
Oh, that's funny. So what happened with your dad? That's what I should have said.
Like, you got famous because this was a prank for your birthday party.
Is your dad Frank Black from Pixies? Is that your dad?
Oh, if only.
All right. Well, anyway, play the song.
Yeah, here's the Glee version, so it's at least tolerable.
the fly, fun, fun, think about fun, you know what it is. I got this, you got this, my friend is by my right, hey. I got this, you got this, now you know it. Kicking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat. Gotta make my mind up, which seat can I take? It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, 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 partying. Fun, 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 looking forward to the weekend.
Yesterday was Thursday, Thursday. Today is Friday, Friday. We so excited. We're so excited. We're gonna have a ball today.
Tomorrow is Saturday and Sunday comes afterwards.
I want this weekend to end.
RT, Abrams. So chilling in the front seat, in the back seat. I'm driving, cruising, yeah. Fast lanes, switching lanes with a car by my side. In front of me makes TikTok, TikTok, wanna scream. Check my time, it's Friday, it's the weekend. We gonna have fun, come on, y'all.
Friday.